Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
There are nearly 60 million people in the United States who can trace their roots back to Latin America or Spain. That's according to data from the Pew Research Center. In the United States, we've tended to call this group Hispanics or Latinos. Sometimes we refer to them by their country of origin, Cubans, Mexicans, Venezuelans, for example. Add in regional differences and the nomenclature becomes even more complicated. I am of Puerto Rican heritage, for example, but being from New York, some people might call me New Yorican. We are one of the most diverse groups in the United States today by race, ethnicity, political affiliation, and immigration status. So classifying all of us has never been simple. But one term has recently made its way into the demographic lexicon, and it's getting lots of attention.
Soy Latinx.
Comedians like Arturo Castro are also hitting the topic.
Oh, wow. You have a Latinx boyfriend, huh?
Yeah, but the proper term now is Latinx.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're Latinx.
No, people don't say Latin anymore. It's Latinx.
Yeah, because he's your ex. But when you were dating, he was...
also Latinx.
And trust me, we looked. There are dozens of podcasts that use the naming convention.
You're listening to Latinx America.
Bienvenido a Latinx Music.
Hello and welcome to Latinx on the Rise.
You're listening to Latinx Therapy.
This is Latinx Supernatural.
For more on this, I'm joined by Ed Morales. He's a lecturer at the Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race at Columbia University and the author of Latinx, The New Force in American Politics and Culture. Ed, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also on the line, we have Giancarlo Sopo, a writer at The Blaze and a 2019 regional fellow at the National Review Institute. And Giancarlo recently wrote an op-ed in USA Today headline, quote, "Progressives, Hispanics are not Latinx. Stop trying to anglicize our Spanish language." Giancarlo, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So, Giancarlo, Latinx is a popular word right now, especially on social media. When did you first hear of the term?
Yeah, so I first heard of the term in the late 2000s. Here in the U.S., I'm an American, and when I first encountered the term, it seemed to me like it was just trying to almost use a shorthand instead of having to write out Latinos and Latinas. People would just use the X as sort of as a substitute for that. And then I started seeing it gain some momentum, primarily among U.S. English-speaking Latinos and white progressives, and I thought that was quite problematic, so I wrote that that piece in USA Today.
That piece made quite the rounds on my Facebook and other places. Ed, tell us what the origins of the term Latinx are.
Well, I don't really have a great idea what the origins of the term are. I remember hearing my students at Columbia begin to use it in the mid-2010s, and they used it because they wanted to create a inclusivity for people who don't identify with the binary definitions of gender.
So we're talking about Latino, Latina, and it kind of gets into a couple of areas here. There's the gender binary, and then there's also the language issue, and I want to unpack those a little bit. So people who refer to Latinx or identify as Latinx, Ed, in your experience, have been mostly young people. What have you found?
Yeah, younger people are much more prone to use it, but also members of LGBTQ community are very strong about it. I was on a panel at UPenn about a year ago, and I was on a panel with the entire panel was LGBTQ, and everyone, I was really amazed at how strong people felt about the use of the term. They began to talk about the difficulties of talking about their sexuality with their parents. It was a very emotional atmosphere in the room. So I came to appreciate how important it was for LGBTQ people.
Giancarlo, what's your issue with the word itself? I mean, is it that you don't think there's a need for a gender-inclusive identifier in Spanish?
Well, I mean, so twofold. So first off, if we're speaking English, English is not a grammatically gendered language. So if we're attempting to describe someone who is non-gender binary, they can be described in a multiple ways, right? They could still be described as being someone of Latino heritage because the Latino as an adjective doesn't have no ties to gender. They can be described as Hispanic. They can be described as Latin. And actually, polls show that most Latin Americans, they want to be described by their country of origin. So it seems to me it's just a superfluous term. And if someone, you know, I'm someone who's very friendly with using people's preferred pronouns. I'll call someone whatever they want. But when you take this word to its logical conclusion, it requires dismantling the entire language. Spanish is a grammatically gendered language, as everybody knows, and that wouldn't make any sense. It makes it very difficult to communicate with immigrants who are new to this country who may not speak a lot of English. It's a completely foreign term to people like my parents, for example. People, and even a lot of millennials. I just saw a poll showing that only 3% of millennials identify with this term. So it seems to me like an unnatural imposition on a very diverse community.
Ed, you'd like to respond to that?
Well, I would say that the use of the word internet in Spanish is not being called out for destroying the language. And there's nothing about Latinx, which means that we have to degender all words and language. It's just a label that is used to signal a futurism among Latinos who want to be inclusive of people who identify in a wide spectrum of identities. And it also calls to the future of Latinos is acknowledging their mixedness and intersectionality. You know, the word Hispanic itself is not friendly to Spanish. I mean, the IC suffix doesn't exist in the Spanish language. And I don't remember an uproar about that.
Well, I remember, I mean, there is that, Ed, to your point, that sort of speaks to the idea where there's never been one word that identifies us all, right? This whole, these Latinos are, and I use the word Latinos in the United States. Are you seeing some parallels here in the contention around Latinx that the same were around when we talked about calling us all Hispanics?
Yeah, well, Latino first displaced Hispanic because it wanted to refer to an identity that wasn't entirely based in Spain and acknowledged that we have African and indigenous ancestry. So Latinx is sort of taking this next step of, and I think I'm very proud that Latinos are the first group to even have a discussion to use a word that includes LGBTQ people and people who don't identify with the gender binary.
Giancarlo, I want to talk a little bit about how this is playing out outside of the United States, because you may have a supporter here in the governing body of Spanish, if you will, the Real Academia Español over in Spain. They have rejected so far the use of X as a gender-neutral alternative, and their director said recently, quote, the problem is we're confusing grammar with machismo. Mm-hmm. So the Spanish Real Academia seems to support you, but this conversation is happening beyond the U.S., isn't it?
Yeah, so there's some tendencies in Latin America. We're seeing in countries like Chile and Argentina and Mexico to use the suffix of E instead of O as an A to try to make words gender neutral. What linguists whom I've consulted, and I spoke with James Harris of MIT on this, what they've told me actually is that Americans are confusing grammatical gender with biological sex and then imposing on top of that our 2019 progressive sensibilities. Grammar and biological sex are two totally different things. The nature of words in Spanish, depending on whether they have an A or an O, it's a lexical construct. It has nothing to do with biological sex. When it deals with humans, it's a little different. And I agree that there are some, that when we're talking to people who are non-binary, it's tricky, but that's not an issue in English. English, you have it's a gender-neutral language. You don't have any kind of grammatical gendered words the same way that you have in Spanish. And there are a ton of words that can be used to described people who are non-binary. And I don't think if you want to call somebody who's non-binary Latinx, I think that's fine. You shouldn't then take that term and impose that on all Latinos who polls show 98% of them don't identify with.
Let's break that down a little bit, because I think there's a lot there. I mean, one of the things that we are in a moment right now where we are, as a society, I think, challenging a lot of these social constructs, whether they come in language, whether we're talking about gender, whether we're talking about a lot of different things. So this seems to be an appropriate moment to do that. When I talk to a lot of people, a lot of Latinos, and again, I use the term Latinos, they feel okay with inclusive language. If you want to be Latinx, be Latinx, but they're a little bit more uncomfortable with the sort of blanket use of the term that's showing up a lot in media. What do you say to that?
I don't think that anyone is trying to impose the word on anyone. I think the use of gendered words having absolutely nothing to do, I think, is a very abstract idea that doesn't really operate in real human life. And then I would also add that certain terms are not immediately accepted. You know, African-American was not accepted immediately. A lot of people had a hard time letting go of Negro. Stanley Crouch was still talking about Negro when I wrote at the Village Voice, you know, in the 80s and 90s. The other thing I would say, too, about the use of Latino as a universal word is that I understand that it doesn't appeal to everyone, but if you withdraw from the idea of Latino, you're giving up an enormous amount of political power and allowing other people to use the term to your disadvantage.
What about taking it to Giancarlo's point? I mean, Giancarlo, is your concern here that the use of this personal identifier, for particularly for non-binary Latinos or Latines, if you will, is going to then have a conclusion where we will have to restructure the entire Spanish language? Or, I mean, is that a realistic way to look at it?
Yeah, so some people are pushing for something like that in Latin America. And even when we're speaking in plural, the word Latinos, right, in neither English or Spanish, it's a gender-inclusive term, so everyone's already included in these terms. So a lot of this is actually just has an undercurrent of fallacies and conflation of grammatical gender with biological sex, which they're two separate things.
A lot of people would push back on that and say, no, I mean, these identifiers are really important, and the gendering of this language is important, and how we identify is important. Ed, would you want to respond to that?
I remember the first time I heard gay Latino men use a feminine suffix in describing what they're how they're feeling. For instance, saying I'm cansada, and it was a real signal to me about what their identity was. And I think it was really important they were allowed to do that.
So, Giancarlo, I want to get your thoughts on any of these umbrella terms that we're using, right? I mean, the Hispanic has been contentious, Latino has been contentious. We're talking about a very diverse group of people. Is there a danger to using any of those terms? And to Ed's point, you know, do you dilute your political power if you stay away from some of these words?
Yeah, so I think part of what the Latinx term is doing is that I think it's putting a lot of strain on these umbrella identifiers. I do think, though, that for a large segment of the population that is as diverse as Latinos are, if you really think about it, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to put, you know, people as diverse as, you know, Cuban Americans, Argentines, and Mexican Americans all in the same ethnic bucket, the same way that no demographer would ever put a Texan and a Londoner in the same bucket merely because they both speak English. So I think there are significant cultural differences among different Latino communities, and these umbrella terms are really being tested now because a lot of people, they just prefer to be called by their national origin.
Ed, do you think we should abandon this issue of Latino, Latinx, Latine, Hispanic, and should we really begin to focus on national identity or ethnic origin or some other term? I'm not sure whether any of these are working for us as a whole.
The collective identity of Latin American descendants in the U.S. has a long history, and it's not like we can just wipe it out by deciding not to do that. And there's a lot of political organizing around that kind of identity. There's certainly a lot of diversity. You know, my argument is that Latino identity is about acknowledging diversity as almost a definition. I know it's a kind of a contradiction, but it's a way for people to identify with each other and work together. You know, one of the main challenges for Latinos today is to both reinforce their individual home country identities and at the same time find ways to make common ground with Latinos.
Is there a rule? You know, is it okay, I should say, because I'm tweeting now and I say Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine. I mean, it's gotten much longer, you know, in my tweets. Can I just go back to Latino?
I use Latino a lot. I use Latino slash A. You know, Residente tweeted the other day about Latinas and saying that to represent all Latinos. You know, that's another thing that you can do. I don't really think that there should be rules. And I think the idea that there is an imposition of rules is something that comes from people who are criticizing progressive people. So all of these language games that are being played, I don't really think have a lot to do with the reality of the way that people are learning about their identities and expressing them.
Ed Morales is the author of Latinx, The New Force in American Politics and Culture. And Giancarlo Sopo is a writer at The Blaze and a 2019 regional fellow at the National Review Institute. Thanks to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Rachel from Louisville. My comment on the word Latinx is it feels clumsy in the mouth, like an awkward attempt to make a word gender neutral when the language really wasn't set up for that. However, that same awkwardness reminds the speaker and the listeners of why the change was made, why it was important and necessary, and of all the people the word represents who were previously invisible.
Hello, my name is Raphael, and I live in South El Monte, California. I have heard of the term Latinx. I do not identify with it at all. I reject it completely. I am Mexican-American, first generation born in California. I identify as Mexican or Mexican-American, not Latino. Latinos are Anglo-Europeans from Italy, not Hispanic. Hispanics are Anglo-European from Spain.
Hi, this is Lindsay from South Plainfield, New Jersey. I try to stay educated and use preferred pronouns and cultural identity markers whenever I can. I do a lot of introductions as part of my job, and when in doubt, I always ask for preferences from folks. Of course, it's not always possible when referring to a group of people, and this new term has me completely flummoxed. Generally, I've avoided using it because I don't want to offend anyone, and I don't actually completely understand it myself.